Chapter 17. Shay sat on the edge of the bed with her back arched beautifully as she gazed up at me. Her deep green eyes were laced with gold, and I felt like I could get lost in them for days and days. Her skillful fingers unlaced the front of my leather trousers, and I indulged myself with tangling my hands in her gorgeous wavy hair.
"Pull,"
she gasped, and she reached up to squeeze my fists so I would pull her hair even tighter.
"Ah!"
"Fuck," I whispered, as her pupils blew open wide with arousal at the action. My phoenix wife grinned a sexy little grin and leaned forward so she could bite one of my trouser laces between her straight white teeth. Then butterflies erupted in my lower belly when she pulled back slowly until my waistband went slack. Goddess, she was gorgeous. But there was no way I was going to let her do anything other than drown in pleasure first. "Guess again, sweetheart," I said, and that was her only warning before I scooped her up and tossed her farther up on the bed. Shay then giggled when I did a little dance to kick off my boots and strip off my shirt, and she shimmied out of her robe with a playful smolder on her face as she tossed her red mane.
"Come here, dear heart."
"Yes, ma'am," I said, and draped my body over hers so I could gaze down at her beautiful form. I leaned most of my weight on one elbow next to her head, while my other hand was free to trail down her delicate throat and trace patterns between her full breasts. She shivered, and I watched the flutter in the dip between her collarbones. That little morsel of flesh was just so tempting, and I leaned down so I could lick and suck at the sensitive skin.
"Alex, that feels..."
she moaned, and I inwardly cheered when her beautiful little stutter returned.
"Oh, my love."
Mercedes, how I'd missed that stutter. I sucked a hickey on her collarbone, and my heart pounded with lust at the way her soft body writhed against mine. She felt so good against me, and I had to stop myself numerous times from just crushing her with my body because I wanted to cover every inch of her and never let her out of my sight again.
"Darling."
Shay's voice brought me back to the present, and I realized I'd somehow wrapped my arms around her and did exactly what I'd been trying to avoid. Currently, I was attempting to merge our bodies together via osmosis or something, because I was twined around her like an octopus. Fuck. I breathed deep and burrowed myself between her soft breasts. "I missed you so much, Shay."
"And are you, husband?"
she said, as she raked her fingernails through my hair and against my sensitive scalp.
"You are my heart of hearts. I'm sorry we were parted for so long."
"Me too, babe," I said, and raised my head so I could look at her. "I wasn't the only one who missed you, by the way. You are integral to this family, to me."
"Alex,"
she breathed, and she scrabbled for me to come closer so we could crash our mouths together in a frenzy of tongues and clicking teeth. Shay nibbled on my lower lip, and I swirled my tongue around hers before I nibbled hers back. And then, when she was breathless and kissed within an inch of her life, I resumed my quest down her gorgeous body. My wife moaned a pretty little sound that reminded me of a violin, and I kissed and sucked little raspberries all over her creamy white breasts. When I drew her puckered nipple into my mouth, every fiber of her lit up like fireworks, and she turned into a sexy, ravenous beast.
"Oh!"
She whined and raked her nails across my bare shoulders.
More!
The sting made my blood pound harder, and I pressed my erection into the mattress for some relief. Yes. Fuck yes. I gave her other breast some loving attention while I continued to knead and massage the first, so she was nearly overwhelmed with pleasure. Her crimson hair frizzed up in the back with how much she thrashed her head back and forth, and it was almost a shame to leave my station. But I could read the impatient huffs and the way she kept trying to grind her pelvis up into me, and I knew what my baby wanted.
"Ah!"
Shay wailed when I parted her moist pussy lips so I could take a lick. Her hips shuddered, and she bucked upward into my face like the eager thing she was. I got to work and pulled out every trick in my arsenal. Jaw fatigue be damned. My tongue flattened over her clit in broad strokes at first, and no matter how much she squirmed or tugged on my hair, I kept it at a very steady pace.
Oh, Alex!
She moaned and tried to hurry me on by wrapping one leg around the middle of my back. I decided to give her a little more, and I slipped my fingers into her hot channel so I could lightly crook upwards into the slightly spongy patch that made her see stars. Her muscles clamped down on my fingers like a vice, and when I suckled on her little pleasure nub, she fucking came alive. Yeah, baby, I encouraged, as her first orgasm rolled through her like a wave. Come on.
Husband, I need you now.
With a surprising amount of strength, Shay locked her legs around my waist, pushed up, and flipped us so she was now on top. Fuck, I gasped, as she drew my pants down so she could get at my cock. Then she took her time to give me a good couple of strokes before she lined herself up and sank slowly down. Her hot walls gripped my shaft, and when she was fully seated, her fingers clawed into my chest. I could tell she needed time to adjust, but I couldn't help the tight flex of my hips to ease the fire in my blood. It was a good thing she was holding me down because I wanted to plow into her with wild abandon. As if she was reading my mind, Shay grabbed both my wrists and slammed them over my head as she slowly began to grind against me. Even though I could break out of her hold in a second if I wanted to, the act of being dominated by this sexy little spitfire was amazingly arousing. All I wanted was for her to take what she wanted from me, and I met her thrust for thrust until our bodies smacked together and the bed scraped against the floor. I let my carnal passion take over, and I laced our fingers together above my head so we both had something to hold on to. Shay suddenly stiffened on top of me, and her rippling internal muscles milked my cock as she climaxed again. Then, when the tempest was over, she collapsed forward on top of me and clung to me like a limpet. She had done beautifully, but now it was my turn, and I wanted to see if I could make her see outer space. I held her against me with one arm and took care to flip our positions without pulling out, and I moved us back in the center of the bed. Then I gently laid her back down against the pillows and kissed her swollen lips. I love you, I whispered, and my wife trembled and kissed me harder when the ability to form sentences seemed beyond her. But the look of adoration on her face told me more than any words could. I love you. I love you. Every time I spoke those sacred words, I rolled our bodies together in a sensual rocking motion that reminded me of being on the river in a small boat when I'd awoken to the sight of those dazzling emerald eyes. Now, those eyes were full of every emotion I couldn't articulate, and I felt myself drowning in that sea of green.
Come inside me, Alex,
Shay beckoned, and I pissed in my hips faster.
I want to feel all of you. Come on.
I crushed our bodies together when my orgasm finally overcame my self-control, and my groin juddered against hers as I ejaculated deep inside her in thick, hot ropes.
Ah!
I buried my face in the dusky cove of my wife's neck and shoulder as she contracted around me for the final time, and I held us together even tighter as we rocked out the tail end of our shared climaxes. The post-orgasmic haze enveloped us both and took me far away as everything in my mind became quiet. All that mattered between us was caressing, breathing, and making sure every inch of ourselves was consumed with the other. I didn't know how long we spent floating in the afterglow, but at some point I surfaced from my headspace and looked up at her. "Am I crushing you?" I murmured as I brushed strands of her wild hair out of her face.
"I rather like it."
Shay hummed and rubbed her foot up the back of my calf.
I've missed having you cover me like this. I've missed your strong arms. It's been hard to sleep without all of you.
Let me take care of you, baby, I said, and kissed her pretty neck over where a lovely hickey was starting to bloom like a carnation. Then I gently sat up and pulled my softened cock out of her, and I was slightly mesmerized by the glistening trail of my cum seeping out of her pussy. As if I was on autopilot, I swiped a little of it up with my thumb and pushed it back inside her. Shay sighed like a dove as her legs opened even wider. And if I wasn't still riding the high of a fantastic fuck, I would have seen where that flicker of interest would have led. But I got up and found a damp cloth to wipe the both of us clean for now, and after that was done, I stood there in a moment of indecision. I should go check in with everyone because time was of the essence. But the sight of my Phoenix wife curled up in the big bed left me torn. She looked cozy, but the bed also seemed to swallow her whole and made her look chilly. And I really didn't want to leave her side so soon. Just as I turned toward the wardrobe in order to find something clean and functional to wear, I felt a strange tug in my gut, and then something that sounded like Amaya's voice in my head.
Stay with her. We'll be up soon.
I sighed out in relief as a small burden was taken off my shoulders. My crew was capable and had everything well in hand, so I didn't even think twice before diving back into the comfortable bed and tucking my precious butterfly into the chrysalis of my arms.
You're staying?
She cooed, even though she was halfway to Dreamland already. Yeah, I mumbled, and inhaled her ginger lily scent. I pulled the soft blanket over us, and when I spooned up behind her, she grabbed my hand, laced it with hers, and then placed both our hands on her lower belly. Something about the gesture caught my attention. But I could tell Shay was completely out by the way she was soft and pliant in my embrace. So I filed the thought away and dozed off to dreams of my winged bride cradling her pregnant belly. As I dropped into this loose, half-meditative sleep, the landscape of my mind was once more filled with flashing images flickering past my vision like a projector on fast forward. Faces I recognized, and more often than not, complete strangers flittered by too quickly for me to grab. It was like trying to catch a handful of minnows, but only a few of them swam to the surface and were clear enough for me to actually make out. One such image seemed to be set on repeat. I was standing in a large hall with arching windows, and through one of the windows flew Crackers, the Screecher. The sun flashed off his wings like a golden beacon, and when this happened, the scene changed into me flying over a chasm on the back of a squaller. My hand was extended toward a figure on the suspended rope bridge between the palace and the Sentinel Tower. I urged my steed onward, and I reached as far as my shoulder would allow, because any moment I knew that bridge was going to snap. The gong used to wake the village broke me out of the vision, and even though my body remained still and at rest, my mind snapped instantly alert and awake. Today was the day. We were getting out of here, and after today there would be no stopping this ball once it was set in motion. I took a deep breath as the remnants from the strange dream trance faded, and my mind switched over to more tactical avenues. We were essentially mounting a political takeover, and I was man enough to admit I hadn't really been a part of many of those. As stealthily as I could, I ninja'd my way out of the gorgeous pile of three sets of warm limbs, dressed, and went to go find out what the plan was. Along the way, I snagged Horus, who was blinking blearily at the kitchen table with a part of his black feathered crest sticking up at an odd angle. "Rough night?" I asked with an arched eyebrow, as I swigged some water and munched on some fruit thing that looked like a potato but tasted like an apple. "In the best way," Horus replied with a dopey smile, and the lascivious expression on his face as he stared off in the distance told me all I needed to know. "No details, please," I snorted, and threw a hunk of bread at his fluffy head. "Oi!" he grumbled as the roll bounced off and landed in front of him. But he didn't seem too irritated, seeing as how he started to eat the thing pretty much right away. "What's the plan, Chief?" "That's what I'm about to find out," I said as I breezed past him. "Come on." As we both traversed the path down to the village, it was easy to see where Major Tharfin was, given the fact it was on the back of the blue squalor Maz rescued from some random upper guards. My dream niggled at me, and even though most of the details were already foggy and obscure, I did remember flying on the back of one of those.
"Wee-hoo!"
Tharfin hollered, and Horus and I had to duck when the Major swooped overhead with the majestic indigo beast.
"El! Land!"
El the squaller touched down in the middle of the clearing, and the dome-headed man jumped down to the ground.
Kinson!
Tharfin greeted me as he tossed El's reins to Thass.
You are right on time. I was hoping you would partake in this lesson on flying these beauties. My goal is to always have one patrolling our line and checking for any danger or rock slides that might be ahead.
I like this plan, I said, and exchanged matching excited looks with Horace.
Yes, he whispered under his breath.
I shook my head, but maybe I'd missed his antics just a little. I call first, I said.
Aw,
he whined. But he was appeased a moment later when Thass told him to toss chunks of organ meat at El, while Tharfin brought the smaller one, La, toward me.
Go ahead and get up into the saddle, Alex,
the major said, and pointed out how the bent elbow of the pterodactyl-like wing acted like a step stool, so I could easily swing myself into the leather seat at the base of the creature's long, skinny neck. The way I was positioned in the saddle, it was natural to lean slightly forward and have the pointed pterodactyl-like skull jut over my right shoulder, but I could still pull back and look to my left side if I needed to.
Brrr!
La purred and almost cuddled her head closer to mine like an overgrown cat.
Excellent,
Tharfin said, in his completely serious and stoic way, as he observed the squalor in me.
You're a natural, and La has taken to you. Now take the reins in your off hand, and with your right you will reach up and grip her fin.
Like this? I raised my hand and gently folded my fingers over the spiny ridge of the large skull piece, and the pose almost reminded me of carrying a large 80s-style boombox over one shoulder.
Move your hand behind your ear some,
the major instructed, and I slid my hand back just a tad.
Good. These squalors have been trained the traditional way. Your fin hand will act as your rudder, and your rein hand will be your accelerator and brake. Thass, demonstrate.
Thass nodded and jumped up in El's saddle. With a flick of the reins in his fist and a tug upward with his fin hand, he then commanded,
Away!
El launched into the air in the direction Thass had her gazing, and as he did a few laps, I was starting to understand the particulars of how these beasts operated. I would not be able to rely on a telepathic bond like with Prosper, and would need to coordinate my hands accordingly.
Are you ready to try?
Tharfin asked. Oh, hell yeah, I couldn't help but reply.
Aim her sight at a good gap in the canopy, and then give the command, he said,
and pointed at a good gap in the trees above. I did as he said, and in a strong voice I shouted,
Away!
Brah!
La squalled. But she only jerked backward a few steps until I realized I needed to flick the reins in my left hand to get her to actually go. But go she did, and when she rocketed into the air, I accidentally yanked her sharply to the right. La said in her weird mix of shrieking and chattering. It was not the most pleasant of noises, so I course-corrected pretty quickly. Sorry, girl, I said, as I let her flap as high as she wanted for a little bit. When we were above the tree line, I tested my steering while letting her glide around in circles and figure eights. She leveled us out fairly easily, and for the most part I left her in neutral so I could gaze around the odd canyon above the trees. As we flew through the air around Lower Tear, I could see the thin, snaking road sloping ever upward and knew that was the path we would be traversing in a few hours. And I tilted La upwards so she could catch the updraft.
You're pretty good at this,
Thass called out when he flew El alongside me.
Thanks,
I answered back. And then I let the other man lead us in a long spiral before we headed back toward the clearing.
When you found a spot, aim her gaze where you want to land, and then give the command,
Thass instructed in a voice loud enough to rise above the rushing wind. Then he demonstrated what he told me by pulling back on the reins first, so El was in a hover.
Land!
At the command, the blue squalor did a tight half-circle and then started to glide back down. I watched Thass execute the maneuver, and then I recreated what he did to the best of my ability.
Land!
I ordered, and I brought La down to land back in the middle of the clearing.
Good girl.
The green squalor chirped, and I took Tharfin's offered hand in order to hop down to the ground.
You look like you got accustomed to law fairly quickly, the major said as he clapped me on the shoulder.
She flies like a dream, I said, and patted the creature's neck.
My turn,
Horace cried out, and he swung a gunny sack in my direction, which I caught before it could hit me in the head. Inside were more chunks of offal, and I tried not to gag as I pulled out a few fleshy lumps so I could toss some to both beasts, while Tharfin walked the Falcon Man through the same instructions as he did with me. And then it was Thassa's and my turn to hang out on the ground.
"Do you think we'll be successful, Ambassador?" the big guy asked me, and I glanced at him.
If it were Horace, I would have probably responded flippantly just to make him laugh, but I hesitated for a second. Even though Thass took after his father in the Stoicism department, something about the way he asked struck me as being more trepidatious. He shifted on his feet in an overly casual manner, and I realized he was nervous, so I took a small breath and answered him the best I could.
"I think that as long as we fight to our fullest, there's no way we can fail," I said. And after I did, the stone around my neck glowed as if on cue. Thass stared at it, and some of the tension around his eyes and mouth lessened a bit before he nodded his scaled head.
"We shall prevail simply on hope alone," he said, and smiled a rare smile.
I tried to copy the certainty of that smile, but the reality still pressed down on me. Insurrection. That word was pounding through every fiber of my being, and even as the caravan was pretty much well on its way, complete with skitters and grubs, as well as Tharfin and Thass flying the squalors overhead, I wondered what would be waiting for us when we did march on the palace. We were finally leaving Lower Ter behind, but something tugged at me, and as our caravan marched through the abandoned streets, I knew I fell into a brood I couldn't shake.
"Alex?"
Zoe questioned, and I tore my gaze away from where I kept peering over my shoulder, even though we were headed through the square.
"What is it, my love?"
"I think there's something beckoning to me," I said, as I attempted to put words to the strange sensation that kept distracting me since I flew on the squalors. It wasn't exactly a voice, but something about it was very familiar.
"What is it?"
she asked as she came up to stand at my side. I'd completely dropped the pretense of trying to focus on the task at hand. And as I stood facing the path that led past the deserted farms, I suddenly knew what was calling out to me. "Snake tree," I said.